Welcome to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. This is the podcast that gets people waffling about their mental health, coping mechanisms, life's minor inconveniences, and the music that soundtracks it all. So join me as I open up shop and have a waffle.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow! Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
I just wish I could go back and like actually be myself and be chatty and be bubbly and like just get my personality across, but it's never too late.
For such a huge period of time, I felt like there was something wrong with me.
Yeah.
And not because I was struggling with my sexuality. Mm-hmm. It was more because I wasn't attracted to anything. Welcome to another episode of the Waffle Shop podcast. Today I'm joined by someone who I've wanted to waffle with for quite some time. It's TV personality, entrepreneur, star of House of Sims, and now a fellow podcaster, Demi Sims.
Hi guys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, welcome to the Waffle Shop.
Thanks for having
me. There's no waffles, just to put that out straight away, just in case, just to set the standard.
Oh, that's a shame.
I know, I'm really
didn't
sorry.
Didn't eat
that.
Breakfast
yeah.
on purpose.
Oh, didn't you?
No, I'm
joking. Don't do that. Awkward already.
I'm going to pass out.
No, thank you. I genuinely really appreciate your time, because obviously I know you're here, there and everywhere. Like, you've just moved back to the UK.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on, so I really appreciate your time. This is all sounds really nice, but I start each one of my shows with something called the Weekly Waffle, which is something that's quite frankly pissed me off, that once I've shared it with my guest, it makes me feel a little bit better.
Okay.
So feel free to get involved.
Okay.
And to be fair, this kind of contradicts what I'm about to do, considering what my waffle is. But what's really pissed me off this week, I mean, it's Monday, so it's a strong start, is people who trauma dump.
Sorry?
Who trauma dump.
What do you mean, trauma dump?
Basically, someone who you don't really know that well, who then offloads all of their stuff to you.
Right.
And
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, beats the object of the podcast. No, it's because obviously now I'm kind of, you know, talking to different people and stuff like that, but not necessarily in here. Obviously, this is the job. But like in day-to-day life, like I'll be stood in Tesco and then some woman will be like, I've had a really tough time with it. I'm getting divorced. I'm just there, like, still uploading my shopping.
Do you know what it is? You must have one of them faces where, like, people want to come and talk to you, because my sister, Frankie, got one of them. Like, I'll be out with her and people just stop her and, like, just talk to her because she's got a little dog, but they'll, like, talk to her about their life. And I'm standing there tapping my foot like, Frankie, this is like the 10th person today. Come on, we've got to go. But
I think been out 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think people just genuinely have that aura about them. Yeah. Like, you're obviously one of them people.
To be fair, it's quite a nice thing. But at the same time, I'm like, I didn't ask.
Need to change my face.
Yeah, I'm just not wearing sunglasses or
need to get resting bitch face.
But that's what I think, because I don't think I'm that approachable.
Oh, I think you're quite smiley now, aren't you?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the anxiety. No, but even like work, a lot of people at work are like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, why? And they're like, oh, you just look like something bad has just happened.
Oh, really? Yeah. I think you're really like giggly. Nice. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's where I'm going wrong.
I think so. I think you might need to wear a face mask, honestly.
Oh, strong start. Is there anything that gets on your nerves that you'd like to get off your chest today?
Just like slow walkers, you know, just like the average things like that, I know. Or like when you get in a crowded train and there's a bit of space and they don't move up, so you're like that. Like, I don't know, just like little things like that, I think, get on my nerves.
It's minor inconveniences.
Inconveniences that you just think, oh, this would make my life so much easier if you just didn't do that. But no, not really. Like, not to be honest, just like small little things you get irritated by. But other than that, like, I think I quite plod along quite happily. Like, I just got the train here and there was like this old woman on the train opposite me, and she was about 17. She was just so happy to be here. Like, she was by herself and she was smiling at like everything. Like, she was just looking at everyone and just smiling, and I was really watching her, and it made me like almost, I felt like I really appreciated life just because I could see her appreciating life.
Yeah.
And it's just that small things like that make my day better and happier.
Oh, you know what, I actually really respect that, and it's one of the reasons why, like, I wanted to have a conversation with you, because that's exactly, like, even from like social media, even like watching you like on TV, you've got such a good vibe about you.
Thank you.
And it's just like, you just feel like really warm.
Yeah.
So no, I like that. That's a nice little response.
Normally
people just go straight for the jugular and just like this or that.
No.
I appreciate that. One of the other reasons why I did want to have a conversation with you, and I've never actually spoken about it on the podcast before, and it's around sexuality. You were the first person that I think I've actually ever seen on TV speak about your sexuality and being bisexual. And it actually kind of spurred my own kind of journey, in a way.
Oh, did you come out as bisexual as well?
And so I've never actually said this on the show. Obviously, people know now, like, I'm in a relationship and stuff, but there's a side
of man.
It. Yeah.
Oh my God, well done. Congratulations.
But yeah, there was for such a huge period of time, I felt like there was something wrong with me.
Yeah.
And not because I was struggling with my sexuality. Mm-hmm. It was more because I wasn't attracted to anything.
Right.
And it was just like, well, I had like my lad mate say like, oh, well, you must be gay if you're not speaking to birds and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had like my girl mates who were saying like, oh, well, we think you're gay if you're not like, you know, pursuing relationships with women.
Yeah.
And I've never said it out loud before, but like, I just, for a huge period of time, I just felt like I wasn't attracted to anything.
You just felt asexual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to try and articulate that and to explain it, like, I just couldn't find the words.
Yeah.
Because there was like an element of like judgment there.
Mm-hmm.
So I really respect like what you do, because I think you were genuinely one of the first people I watched. And I was like, it was just like, yeah, I am. So I appreciate that.
How long was you like going through that time for? Was it like a couple of years?
I'd probably say close to about 4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years, that is a really long time, to be fair. And like, even I get like that sometimes as well. Like, me and my sister Frankie, like, we always make, like, not that it's funny, but we always like make a light-hearted joke that like, oh, I might be a bit asexual. Because like, I struggle really like loving people. Like, I can fall for someone quite easily if they're the right person, but I don't find the right person a lot. So like, I've been single for over 3 years now because I just can't find someone who like I have that amazing buzzing connection with, and I have had that in the past, but I can't find it. And like, the amount of people that I meet, like at events, on nights out, or like just through work, like through friends and stuff, and I'm just like, how am I not meeting someone who I've got like this amazing spark and connection with? So I completely understand what you mean. And it's a bit confusing as well, especially like when you're a bit confused about what gender you're like. You're like, am I looking for boys? Am I looking for girls? So I can really relate to what you're saying with that. But you just have to keep remembering there is someone out there for you. It's just
somewhere.
Where am I? Yeah. But they'll come in time. Yeah. And like, obviously, you've found your person. So happy for you.
I hope so.
Gives me faith.
Well. There is. But to be fair, though, on the flip side, like, you were one of those voices that gave me faith. So
yeah.
I really appreciate that. You're very open when it comes to like your sexuality. Was there a time that there was a struggle? Like, did it kind of, like, how comfortable were you opening up about that side of things?
Yeah, so I was in the closet for like 3 years. because I had a lot of stuff going on at the same time in my life, like when I was a teenager. Like my auntie just passed, and then I started getting vitiligo, and then started realizing I liked girls, and then it was also the same time as my exams, and then I got this because of all this stress. I had like this illness where I kept being sick after everything I ate, and I had to go on medication. I just had so much going on at that time that I was like, I sort of like pushed myself away from the world, and I went into like this deep like pit, because like for like someone who's like 16 to have all that going on at the same time is like really a lot.
With 16 being an age where you haven't got a clue what's going on with your body, yeah, the world at that time anyway, so that, I mean, that's a lot.
It was really confusing. And like sometimes I'm like, oh, why did that have to all happen at the same time? And then I'm like, it's probably a good thing that it all just happened at the same time. And then I just dealt with it all then, rather than like it being in stages. But yeah, and I got like really depressed at the age of like 16, 17. And obviously I couldn't open up to my mum and dad or anyone and tell them, like, obviously they knew a few things about why I would be depressed, but they didn't understand fully like what was going on with myself. So they put me into therapy, and I used to walk there after school, which I didn't used to tell anyone. Like, this is like the first time I'm telling anyone about this. Yeah, so
it's something that you should be proud of as well.
Yeah.
Because I'd recommend it to anyone.
I would too.
It completely sorted me out.
Like, yeah, it really does. And yeah, my mum, she got me into art therapy, because it was like, I used to be into art and she didn't know what was wrong with me. So she just thought, if I get her a therapist that bases things around art, then she might open up more. So I used to walk there after school, because she was literally just like around the corner, this woman, and her therapist room was in her house. So I used to go in there and she used to make me like draw what I was thinking and feeling and stuff like that. And for a 16-year-old, like, that really did obviously help. But I was like obviously really quiet and like shy and stuff when I was in her room. I reckon it took me like a month for her to get out of me like what was really going on. And so she was like the first person who I actually like came out to. And then I think after telling her in such a safe space and her being like, this is a normal thing, it actually like calmed me down a little bit. And so then I wasn't as bad, and I was still worried about what everyone else might think, but because she had accepted it and she was like a full grown woman, I had hope that like other adults and like my mum and dad and my sisters, my brothers gonna accept it. So I did hold on to that for like a couple more years until I met someone and we had a secret relationship. And we were in a secret relationship for like 6 months. But people knew. Yeah. I didn't know that people knew, but people knew. And that was quite tough, because like obviously my friends were like, how do you know this girl? Like, no one knew this girl, like, because she lived in Kent and I lived in Essex. So I was like sort of making things up, like,
met at school.
Oh yeah, like I was literally making so many lies up, and I was making lies at like where I was going on the weekend and like how I was getting there. And to think back, it wasn't that safe, like, doing that, because if anything had happened while I was traveling to her, no one would have actually known where I was. And like, so yeah, I feel like I put myself at risk a little bit to be with this girl. But I think that's like what you do for love anyway. Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, that is what you do for love. You do put yourself at risk a little bit. And obviously it paid off, because we were together for 6 months and then she came out and I came out at the same time. But yeah, for like a period of like 3 years, I was like completely closed off from it.
It's quite a freeing thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I mean, I'm, you know, I'm incredibly grateful that I didn't struggle to the extent that some other people obviously struggle with their sexuality. But sometimes when, even now, like saying what I've just said, I almost feel like a little bit of a weight has been lifted.
Yeah.
Because I'm talking to someone that I feel safe with, like,
yeah,
you know, we're a community. It's that kind of element. You said something on a podcast recently that I actually found really fascinating, is that from the outside looking in, you would think, oh, she has the best job in the world. Like, she does this, she does this and this. But you spoke about like the behind the scenes of like the, you know, even getting here today, like traveling into London takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
To then being then speaking about like yourself and like your journey and stuff like that, it takes like little bits away from you. So I imagine when you're filming for like, what, 12 to 13 hours, sometimes more?
Yeah, so with my show at the moment, I film from literally the minute I wake up to the minute I go to sleep. And that goes on for like 6 weeks, which is like, people might think, oh, that's not a long time. Like, we go to work 52 weeks out of the year, but it is when it's that intense and you're doing like 6 weeks of it, it is, you do feel a little bit drained towards the end. And especially like, I've had a lot of stuff going on with this show because of like my family and stuff, and we've all fallen out and it's just been horrendous. So I think that was like draining as well, and it can be draining, but then there's other times when it's like really fun, so it's just that balancing it.
I don't think people realize like how real life it actually is.
Yeah,
like, and to have, it's quite a weird environment, I imagine, like to obviously wake up, there's a camera in your face, to then kind of, you know, your family are going to piss you off. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some family members I'm just like, just sometimes you just like keep pushing that button kind of thing. But then it's like on the next day, you're like, oh, I love you. How do you navigate the chaos? Because we talk about coping mechanisms a lot on the show. Like, music's my biggest one, and I journal a lot. When it does get a little bit chaotic, like, what do you lean towards to kind of help you through that?
I still talk to my therapist, different one, by the way, not the one that I still had when I was 17.
Still drawing.
Still drawing my pictures. No, I talk to my therapist, and I think it's important to have a therapist, and especially if you're on TV, and obviously I've been in it since I was, not in TV, but I've been in therapy since I was 17, and I finally, like, all these years later, I found a really good therapist that works with me, my personality. So I speak to her when times are getting a bit tough. And I also speak to my mum and dad. I personally cope with like speaking to people who are close to me. I don't really tend to speak to like my friends or like other people than that. I actually feel quite hard opening up sometimes, but like those people I will speak to. And yeah, I in the first series, I did meditate a lot. I was going through a meditation space.
How did you do that?
Don't meditate anymore.
Yeah, I'd honestly take my hat to anyone who can sit down with their thoughts for that period of time.
Yeah, well, it's about not thinking, really. I know. So, like, I was really into it, though. So, like, if I got stressed, it's about breathing techniques, and, like, that calms your whole body down. And sometimes I'm like, I wish I could get back into that. But where I'm so a million miles per hour, I'm like, I can't even sit there and control my breath when I'm, like, all over the place. So, but, yeah, that does help some people.
I don't know. I started thinking about like the stupid thing I said in like in year seven.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, why have you said that?
I know.
It was like 20 years ago. What are you talking about?
Yeah. When you can't get to sleep because you're thinking about that. Yeah, that is the worst, ain't it?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I want to talk to you about something that I find quite fascinating, especially someone in your position. It's the whole kind of confidence like side of things. Obviously, this is all kind of almost normal to you to a certain degree, I imagine, not to put words in your mouth there. But is there days when you're not kind of feeling 100%, but you still have to kind of like show up?
Yeah.
How do you push past those kind of like mental blocks?
Yeah, when I was on TOWIE, I was like, not because of the show, but because of like what I was dealing with at the time, I was like in and out of depression throughout that whole show. And I was on there for like 3-4 years. And there's some days when I would be crying while doing my makeup and thinking, God, how am I going to show up on set today? But like, I was just thinking, if I don't and I tell them that I'm depressed, then I'm not going to have a job anymore, because they're going to be like, oh, well, you can't film a TV show if you're suffering with depression. And then I'll get even further into depression because I won't have a job, I won't have money, I won't be able to afford my rent. So it was like one of them things where it was like I had to push myself to go to work, because if I didn't, then I wouldn't be living in my apartment and driving my car and like being able to go out with my friends. So it was sort of just a career drive that really pushed me. And I think I was struggling with that, because at the same time I was finding it hard to be myself while trying to get a career. Like, I couldn't go on TV and be like a bubbly self and like have all these amazing storylines going on, or like I couldn't even think about getting in drama with someone or like even starting a romance with someone, because I was so like in a shell. And I'm sure if you've been through depression, you'll know it's like difficult. So I would turn up on set and I would be a little bit like bland, and I would just sit there in the scenes and be like this, and like I would just sort of agree with like other people because I didn't want them to notice what I was going through. And it just sort of like shied my personality away from people knowing who I really was, and especially on TV. But I still done well. Like, when I think back and look at it, I think like I done well. So, I don't know how I got through that. No one even realised the thing, honestly. But yeah, I just wish I could go back in time and sort of just say, like, shake myself and be like, there's no need for you to be depressed. Like, everything's going to be fine. Like, everything's going to work itself out. Like, and I just wish I could go back and like actually be myself and be chatty and be bubbly and like just get my personality across. But it's never too late. No, of course, like, it's always so much.
I'm a big believer in, like, you have to almost go through that.
Yeah.
To get to a point now where you're just like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
So, do you know what I mean? It's just how important is identity to you?
It's quite important, because you can get like cut and edited on programs to make you look a certain way. So like sometimes that is frustrating, and I do want people to like see the real me, and like I am like, I just want to have fun and stuff like that. But sometimes I come across quite serious and sensitive, but I think that is because I was going through some things, you know. So it's quite important for me to like just sort of let this all out now and just let people know that, like,
you're human.
I don't cry every day, I swear. But like, and it is normal for people to go through that, especially even people on TV. They just can't speak about it because you're not going to get TV work if you do. Like, I was even worried about speaking about this and like coming on podcasts and saying it, because I was thinking, oh, well, what if like a TV show won't take me now just because I've got like a bit of depression in my history? Do you know what I mean? But sometimes you just got to do it.
You know what, that would make me want to be around you more. Not because of like the depression side, but the fact that at that one point you were at almost the rock bottom to now be in a position where I'm talking about it. Yes, I was there, but this is where I'm at now.
Yeah.
That to me is what I find inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I know it's easier said than done to talk about it into certain like capacities. And obviously I'm not from your world in terms of like TV and stuff, but yeah, that to me is far more commendable than anyone who's kind of, I don't want to say scared to talk about it, because I don't want to sound as if like I'm kind of pointing fingers or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's brave, incredibly brave.
Thank you.
Where does the drive come from? Because obviously your family is very famous now in the UK, well, both sides of the Atlantic now. And obviously for all different avenues. Where does the drive come from? Because you guys are like a machines.
I don't know. I think, like, for me personally, I remember when I was like 17 and I was in college studying makeup, and then I left and I got a job in doing makeup and I become a makeup artist, and I was on 14k a year, and it was like nothing really, is it?
On this,
like,
day and age.
This day and age, like, I couldn't even, and I remember like crying to my mum, thinking like, how am I gonna move out and like rent a place, or like, because it's like, how much is that to, that's all my money basically gone off if I want to start renting a place. And I was just crying, and I just remember thinking, I've got to do better than this, I've got to get a better job. And then obviously I went on Tawi when I was 22, and I started earning more money, and then I started getting like paid ads. I was 22.
Wow.
Started getting paid ads, I started doing well for myself, and the more money that was coming in, the more it strived me to do well, because I just kept thinking in the back of my head, I want a nice life. And like, for me as well, like, I haven't got that mindset of like what girls have when they're like, oh, it's okay, I'll just like marry a rich husband and like he can pay for things that I haven't got. That I'm gonna marry a woman and I know that, and so I might have to be the provider, so therefore I need to do well. And so I think that's where it's all come from. And then yeah, I've just been like trying to smash through as much work as possible. Yeah. And it's been like, well, I started when I was 22 and now I'm 27 and it's going well.
I mean, honestly, you're smashing it. And I think it's quite, you know, I could have asked that question. You've been like, oh, give me like a real, like, almost like wanky answer.
Yeah.
It's just like, you just want a nice life.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like big dramatic things. It's just like, I just want, essentially, the sense that I'm getting, like, you just want to be happy.
I want to be able to afford a house. I want to have a nice car. I want my kids to grow up in a house where I can, you know, buy them if they want, like, I don't know, a takeaway on the weekend. I could buy them a takeaway on the weekend, or if they want to go to Disneyland, I could take them to Disneyland. I just want to be able to provide my kids with happiness, and so that's what I'm striving for.
It's coming. It's coming. It's definitely coming. I want to say, you mentioned it earlier, and obviously I don't know if you've spoken about this before, about your skin. I don't want to say the name of it wrong.
Yeah, vitiligo.
Yeah. Because obviously being on TV and stuff, being like conscious and about like your body, I mean, everyone is like, but I mean, when you're behind a camera, like the amount of times that you are, has that caused you a bit of grief in the past? Or is it something like, do you know what? No, I'm proud of this. This is my skin that I'm in. So
yeah, a little bit. Like when I first started Tawi, I had a lot of comments like, oh, she wears a lot of makeup. I had a lot of trolls that I'd love to see you without makeup on one day and stuff like this. And I remember when we had to do a shoot for Tawi where we had to wipe our makeup off.
Yeah.
And I just like put on so much fake tan the night before that when I was thinking, oh, I'll wipe my makeup off, like they won't be able to see like my patches around my eyes or around my neck or anything. And I just remember wiping it off and thinking, oh God, this fake tan looks awful. But so I did struggle with it a little bit. And obviously I came a bit more open about like having the vitiligo and stuff like that. And I've had a really good response since opening up about it. And actually I quite like it. Like when I go on holiday and I get a tan and you can see my patches even more, I actually quite like it now. It's different. So I did definitely struggle with that first. And I think that has also been... was a struggle in my relationships, because now I already had like fear about like taking my makeup off in front of someone and them seeing like the patches and I have them all over my body and stuff. So I just used to think, oh, what if someone doesn't find this attractive, you know?
Yeah.
But as I'm getting older, I'm just starting to like get a bit more like careless.
Yeah.
And people always said that to me, like the older you get, the more carefree you become. So I would definitely say that is true.
Honestly, I'm telling you, turning 30 did me wonders.
Yeah.
So honestly,
everyone says that. 30 is like your best years.
Yeah. I was petrified about it. And I was like 27, 28. I was like, oh God, 30. Like I'm well old.
Yeah.
Literally turned 30 and literally life is just... boomed.
Yeah, so much different. I know.
So good though.
I'm scared about turning 30, but then everyone says that, and I'm like, well, if they're your best years, yeah, then bring it on.
And I think, especially with your mindset, obviously, thank you for opening up about the vitiligo.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with the mindset that you've got at the moment, like the best is yet to come.
Yeah, I hope so, because I do feel like I've still got like a lot left in me. Like, I know it sounds silly, but I was even saying to my sister the other day, like, I want to go Coachella. Like, it's been like 2-3 weeks I've not got anyone to go with, but like I'm hoping that next year or something I will. So I know there's like a lot more fun memories to come, like just small things like that. And like, obviously I'm yet to meet the love of my life, and I'm yet to like have kids and have this like dream house I've been dreaming of. So I know that is yet to come, and it's not going to come in like 6 months. It's going to be when I'm probably 30. Yeah. So it does make sense.
I am free for Coachella.
Oh, you are free.
I'm just going to plug that in there.
Let's go.
But no, but it's true. For such a huge period of time, and I think this kind of like fed into like the whole kind of sexuality conversation as well. Like, my girlmates were like getting like pregnant, they were getting married. My lad mates were doing the same thing. We're not getting pregnant, but like getting like married and stuff like that. And I was just me sat here like, well, I don't want any of these things. Mm-hmm. And I used to think there was something wrong with me that I didn't want those things.
Yeah.
And then turning 30, I was just like, oh, well, it's okay not to want those things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kind of on anyone else's path. I'm like, I'm running like to my own tune kind of thing. Is that similar for yourself? Like, do you, like, because the whole comparison thing kind of just came into my mind. Mm. Obviously, it can be quite a toxic place to be, this whole kind of comparison thing. Have you experienced that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, like, most of my friends are all loved up, and like, I've got like a whole girl group, like from school, and like two of them have been with their boyfriends for 12 years. And like, yeah, some of them are engaged, one of them's got some babies. And I'm like still just chilling, like just like having fun. Yeah, worrying about who I'm going to go Coachella with. Like, but I would definitely say I wouldn't change the way it is. Like, I don't think I am ready right now for like a long-term relationship. I think I need to sort my career out first. And I think I'm very career-minded in that aspect where I just want to do well before I feel like I can give myself to someone else.
What's that? Is it RuPaul? It's like, you can't love yourself. How can you love someone else?
Yeah, no. Exactly.
If you can't love yourself,
yeah,
how the hell are you going to love someone else?
And I need to feel like I really love myself and my life, because obviously there is still things about me that I need to better and like make changes to. And before I can be with someone, I need to do those things.
You'll get there. I'm saying it will get there because one of the biggest things that taught me how to be happy, how to be myself, was the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got a bit of rivalry now because considering, yeah, no pressure. Can you tell me about it? Because it is, honestly, if it's anything like this, like, I'm so excited to listen.
So our podcast is like just about like how people got to where they are. So we've had some really cool people on, like, just we've had a mixture of like sports people, we've like had like a footballer, boxer, and then we've had some reality TV, we've had some Love Island TikTokers, we've just had a real mixture, and we just want to know how they got to where they are today, because everyone's got a different journey, and some of it's lighthearted, some of it can get a bit deep. But it's just about people's journeys. And I know, I'm sure you know, like, it is actually interesting. And me and my sister are doing it together, and we have to, like, obviously research and write up the questions beforehand. And there's things about people that I just would never have had any idea that they've, like, gone through, or, like, how they've been brought up. And then when you're sitting face to face, it's, like, so interesting.
That's how you learn.
Yeah.
Honestly, some of the biggest bits of kind of, like, throughout, I'd probably go as far as saying that, like, it completely changed the course of my life.
It gives you a buzz afterwards massive as well. Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
So we're skipping down Oxford Street after
that. Yeah, you feel like you've accomplished something, like, just by speaking to someone, letting them open up to you. Like, being a pair of ears is actually a really good feeling. I might become a therapist. But no, it actually is. I'm sure you know that.
No, honestly, it's that's why now, like, if anyone says, like, men don't listen.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
Because it's these kind of conversations that I find generally inspiring, because it's like they've experienced life in like very different avenues, and you pick up little bits and just kind of start applying it to your own life. And you're like, oh, okay, well, if that person can do it, so can I.
Yeah, it does. It gives you like a goal.
100%. It does. When's it out?
It's coming out on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
You're gonna dislike it on YouTube.
So by the time this goes out,
yeah, when's this coming out?
So this will be out a week tomorrow.
Right. Okay.
So the first episode, what's the name? What can you tell me the name?
Sim Squared.
Oh, brilliant. The first episode of Sim Squared is out now.
Yes, it's already out.
Yeah.
It was out on Sunday. I don't even know what day it is.
Links in the bio.
Yeah, links in the bio.
I have three final questions that I ask each and every one of my guests.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine it takes you a lot to get on the dance floor.
Mm-hmm.
Does there need to be a certain song playing to get you on there?
Certain song? Oh, I do like a bit Jocelyn Brown. Can't get off my horse and I can't. Yeah, me and Frankie love that song. Whenever that's played, we're like, right, up.
Okay.
We like all the old club classics, like R&B.
Do you know what? I respect that.
Yeah.
I feel like every time I ask that question, someone, like, you feel like their brain goes like, what's going to make me sound cool? What's going to make me sound cool? Respect that.
Does that not make me sound cool?
No, because I love that type of music. Yeah. I feel like I was born in the wrong era.
Yeah, I know. I feel like that sometimes.
Lost in time. Yeah. on the flip side of that, obviously you're very open when it comes to like talking about like your mental health and kind of like the kind of the low points. Has there been a song or an album or even an artist that has soundtracked those kind of like that period of time? Or is there a song that brings you in your feels?
Yeah, you know, Unwritten.
Natasha Bedingfield?
Yeah. Do you love that song?
I fucking love that song. Yeah,
I feel like when I was like going through like the period of time that I was like really down, I kept listening to that song and it's like, feel the rain on your skin. And I just kept listening to it and I feel like it got me through some stuff.
Do you know what? I was talking about this song on a previous episode a few weeks ago, because I usually do a thing called like sing it or sack it, whereas like if I like the lyrics, I'll sing it. If I don't, I'll sack it. And I deep dived on the lyrics to that song and it was just like, the rest is still unwritten.
Yeah.
I'm just like, even now, look. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, yeah. Like things do get tough. Like they life do. Is going to get tough, mm-hmm. but the rest is still unwritten.
Yeah, it really is unwritten. Look at me and you being so
yeah,
cheap.
Yeah, look at you. Final question. Is there a song that you would quite like to put in a box, wrap in chains, kick to the bottom of the ocean and never hear it again? I mean, there's no beef, like they're not here.
Oh, I was trying to think of this song that I was listening to the other day on the radio. It made me feel so car sick when I heard it.
That's a new one.
I know, I can't remember what one it was. I can't remember what it was, but it was making me feel so car sick that I had to turn it over.
I really want to know.
I know, I can't think of it off the top of my head. But yeah, no, there's a few songs that like I just think, oh, I need to turn this over. Yeah. It's like, ooh.
I've never had that before.
Really? Oh no, it's the worst. Like, have you ever like, I don't know if this is you, but have you ever like brushed your teeth and then with a really minty toothpaste and then gone on a really long drive before? And you get car sick. Oh, me and Frankie get it all the time. Or like, if you brush your teeth and you drink orange juice as well,
yeah.
You get car sick. We just get car sick a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to get it when I was a kid. I used to have those chewy tablets.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I used to have them like little wristbands with the dent in the wrist. Yeah.
Do you reckon it actually worked?
I think it's just like, yeah, mother's, what's it called? Mother's, no, wife's towel.
Wife's towel.
What's it called? Oh, wife's towel. I don't know.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Like a, oh no, that's going to annoy me now. It's making me feel car sick. Thinking about it.
No, I feel a bit car sick now, I'm not going to lie.
Well, it wasn't me. Don't tell me. I went on the waffle shop and felt car sick.
You'll feel car sick.
Oh, no, honestly, best of luck with this year, Demi. Honestly, like, it's so nice to see you going from strength to strength.
Thank
you. And it's only going to get bigger. And, like, and genuinely, like, I will be listening on Sunday.
Thank you.
Yeah, if it's anything like this, you're on to a winner.
Oh, okay.
And if it's not, don't joke, it's less competition for me.
Oh, yeah, you little rascal.
No, honestly, thank you so much for joining me for a waffle.
Thanks for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
No car sick.
Oh, no, I'm about to get in a car now. I'm going to be like...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and even leave a review. It means the world to me. See you soon.